Shalom, and welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. My name is Shelley, Billy Brim's oldest, and praise God, Mom has allowed me to come and share a few thoughts, especially on this book written by Robert J. Morgan, entitled 100 Bible Verses That Made America Great. Today we'll be reading from his book, and it's chapter 13. The date is 1741, July 8th, 1741. And the title is America's Most Famous Sermon. Boy, that has a ring to it. America's Most Famous Sermon. And before I go any further, I am honored to be with my beautiful daughters, one biologically and the other by the love of God. So Kylie and Shannon, would you like to introduce yourselves and anything you want to say about your own podcast?
We're just really glad to be here, and you know, we have a podcast called Winning the Week, Kylie and I do, and we get on there and just talk about practical ways to walk out the Word and discuss things that stay real for the people so that they know that they're not alone in the things that they're going through. So what do you think, Kylie?
Thank you, Shannon. We're really excited to have the podcast, and we're excited to be on here with you this week, Mom. I really enjoy learning about our nation's history. And, you know, if we're on a firm foundation, then there's hope for the future. And I'm thankful for the United States of America and our firm foundation.
Absolutely. And you girls are mothers of children as well. And, you know, patriotism comes, I think, as a result of knowledge, understanding about America. It's like, the more I know you, the more I love you. And so the more we know about America, the more we love her. And it's not being taught on a common level like it used to be in the 1800s or even 1900s. But now, thank God, there is an awakening in the hearts of mothers, in the hearts of children, in the hearts of the education, I believe, of this nation, to get to know the foundation. And I'm a poet and didn't know it, of this nation, so that we can love her and be inspired to pray for her.
That's right.
Okay, so July 8th, 1741. The scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. And it says, quote, "Their foot shall slip in due time." Their foot shall slip in due time. And this is what Mr. Morgan said. He said, there were limited forms of entertainment in colonial times and little reason for people to gather in assemblies except in times of crisis. And that's why churches were so important and sermons so influential. Oh my goodness, side note here, how important it is for pastors to understand that sermons are so influential in our present time, and not to hold back when it comes to speaking the truth, when it comes to the platforms of our presidential election. Going back to the book, people gathered weekly, and remember this is 1741, people gathered weekly to fellowship, to pray, to worship, and learn from Scripture. And many of the events that shaped the mindset of colonial America occurred because of biblical sermons preached by gifted pastors. No one embodies that more than Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan was the fifth child and the only son of 11 children. His parents, the Reverend Timothy Edwards, and his mother, Esther. He was born on October 5th, 1703. In Westminster, Connecticut. Jonathan was a brilliant child, mastering Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, FYI, Hebrew, and mastering these three languages by the time he was 12 years old. He entered Connecticut Collegiate College. Today, that college, you know what that college is? Yale University.
Wow.
And he graduated valedictorian of his class. At age 17, while working on his master's degree, he began meditating on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, quote, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That verse sparked a spiritual experience that made Edwards feel, quote unquote, swallowed up in God. Scholars describe this as Mr. Edwards' born-again experience. Edwards later wrote, quote, "From about that time, I began to have a new kind of apprehensions and ideas of Christ and the work of redemption and the glorious way of salvation by the Lord," unquote. At age 18, Edwards took his first pastorate in a Presbyterian church in New York City, and he became a professor at Yale for 2 years. In November of 1726, his grandfather, Solomon, his mom's father, asked Edwards to join him in the pastorate in Northampton Church. And when his grandfather passed away, Edwards became the sole pastor of the church. So, in the mid-1730s, a revival broke out in Northampton. And in 1740, the great evangelist George Whitfield came to preach. Whitfield's visits further inflamed Edwards to give himself to the cause of revival. The next year, Edwards prepared a sermon titled, quote, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," based on Deuteronomy 32:35. This passage is part of the Song of Moses composed near the end of Moses' life, in which Moses predicted blessings for Israel and judgment on those who rejected God. So using poetic language, Moses warned the Israelites against drifting from the ways of the Lord, for such backsliders will discover their foot will slip in due time and the day of calamity will come swiftly. So many of Edwards' sermons were uplifting and positive and full of the grace and love of God. But on this occasion, his sermon was a warning against taking God for granted or rejecting the Lord's entreaties. So in a calm voice, and side note, I've read in historical accounts of this, where Jonathan Edwards not just had a calm voice, he had a monotone. He read like a robot. It was almost like, Kylie's laughing here, but it's true. They said it was just, it wasn't his dynamic personality at all, because the inflections in his voice were not there. And this is quoting from his...
It's a miracle people didn't fall asleep.
I know.
It's just a miracle.
It lets you know it's God. It lets you know it's the Lord God Almighty, not by might, but by his Holy Spirit. So there we have it in print. Imagine a monotone, calm voice reading this. I'm not going to do it right now because I think it might put you to sleep. Maybe just a few words. I'll do a first little few words. I'm going to try to do my best Jonathan Edwards. Here we go. "Unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering."
Yeah. They're snoring. No. God used it. Praise God.
God used it. "Unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering. And there are innumerable places in this covering so weak that they will not bear their weight. And these places are not seen. The arrows of death fly unseen at noonday. The sharpest sight cannot discern them. This that you have heard is the case of every one of you that are out of Christ. That world of misery, that lake of burning brimstone, is extended abroad under you." Wow. I've got to take a time out. Can you imagine?
The burning brimstone.
Yeah. "There is a dreadful pit of the glowing flames of the wrath of God. There is hell's wide gaping mouth wide open, and you have nothing to stand upon, nor anything to take hold of. There is nothing between you and hell but the air. Your wickedness makes you as if you were heavy as lead, and to tend downwards with great weight and pressure towards hell.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Nothing there's, between there's you and hell but the
you're going to have to endure
okay,
more.
I'm ready.
So inspiring.
So they're hearing this, and imagine God's going to use this as a match to light an outpouring, an open heaven before the birth of this nation. And he uses these words. And if God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend and plunge into the bottomless gulf. You know, there is a hell to shun.
Hell, yep.
And your healthy constitution and your own care and prudence and best behavior and all your righteousness would have no more influence to uphold and keep you out of hell than a spider's web would have to stop a falling rock. And now you have an extraordinary opportunity, a day wherein Christ has thrown the door of mercy wide open, and Christ stands in calling and crying with a loud voice to you, sinners. So in the pews, Edward's words stuck with supernatural force. People began to moan, to weep audibly, and even to scream. The ensuing revival became part of the Great Awakening, a movement of the Holy Spirit over New England and the colonies. The Great Awakening in the American colonies was much of a much broader revival that swept over the Western Church in those days. In England, the revival is commonly known as the Wesley Revival. In Germany, it became known as the Pietists, if I'm saying that right. These three great revival moments or movements changed history, awakening the church, saving even England from going down the path of the French Revolution, and giving America the moral and spiritual strength to become a free and independent nation. How we need another great awakening again. Glory be to God. And so also, in light of that, you know, people just didn't have Bibles like they have today. And so when he gave those words, there is a hell to shun. But Jesus Christ said, this is the day of salvation. And whosoever will, let him come unto me. And so thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at this same time. Until then, shalom, shalom.
Tired of the hustle and bustle of everyday life? Craving a deep connection with God? Join us for the 4th annual At His Feet Women's Retreat in Hulbert, Oklahoma, April 24th through 26th, 2025. Our powerful lineup of speakers includes Kylie Gatewood, Shelley Brim, Shannon Phillips, and special guest, Reverend Kelly Copeland. Together, they'll guide you through powerful teachings, worship, and prayer. Immerse yourself in a sacred space. Let go of the burdens of your day-to-day and abide in the love of Jesus. Register now at hisfeetretreat.info.
Are you interested in America's rich religious history? Then you don't want to miss Robert Morgan's book entitled 100 Verses That Made America. This book explores how biblical principles have influenced our nation's founding and growth, showcasing 100 of the most significant verses that have shaped our nation. And now, you can get your very own copy for just $20 plus shipping at billybrim.org. That's B-I-L-L-Y-E-B-R-I-M, billybrim.org. Or, if you prefer, call 1-800-972-3447. So don't miss this opportunity to deepen your understanding of America's spiritual heritage. Order today 100 Bible Verses That Made America.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org.